signs from heaven, free food from the government, or Jesus Christ? Which do you want? Make your choice. The first one is spectacular, but does not change your life. The second one is easy, but can actually make your life worse. The third one is not spectacular, and it is not easy, but you will live as you never lived before, and you will live forever. People in the first century sought from Jesus for signs from heaven and for free food. He wanted to give himself to them, but they did not like his offer. In John chapter 6, Jesus had fed about 5,000 men miraculously. And after doing so, he just left. The next day, they sought him and found him. And this is where we pick up the story in John 6, beginning verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." They wanted Him. Did He not want them? Jesus bypassed their flattery and their concerns and revealed their motives. They did not seek Him because of the signs. And you would think that would be the first thing. I mean, it's not every day you see someone coming along who can touch someone and heal him of whatever problem he's got. But that's not why they were following Him. They sought Him because He gave them enough free food to fill them. They did not want to get to know Him better. They were not interested in learning from Him. It was not the miraculous signs that impressed them, but the abundance of free food. Let me give you a demonstration of human nature. How many? Now, don't raise your hands, please. Believe me, on this one here, you're not going to want to raise your hand. How many of you would like for me to buy you your favorite meal at your favorite restaurant with no limitations? I mean, if you're thinking, now look, Don, I've been to New York City, and I saw a restaurant there that had an item I wanted on it, and it was $200 a plate. No, I'm saying, if I could do that, would you want me to do that? Now, how many of you would like to buy me a meal, my favorite meal, at my favorite restaurant with no limitations? Don't you hate when preachers do that? Do you know the numbers of people who contact us here wanting free food with free home delivery? Free money? And free bill paying, rent, utilities, and so on, but who do not want what Jesus offered in John 6? Oh yes, we're willing to help, even as Jesus was. But the main thing He came for is something in the Spirit. And that's the main thing as to why the church exists. It's for something in the Spirit. The Jews yawned at turning water into wine, healing a terminally ill boy, and healing thousands of sick and diseased people. But show them the possibility of free food for the rest of their lives, and they were willing to go to any length to find Jesus, even crossing a sea, as they did here in John 6. Now that's the easy part of seeking Jesus. Then came the hard part of following Jesus. The hard part started in verse 27. Do not labor for food for the body. Labor for food for the spirit. Food for the body perishes like the body. Food for the spirit endures like the spirit. The Son of Man gave food for the body, that they might see that He gives food for the Spirit. That's why the church exists. We give food for the body, but we do it so that you can see we give food for the Spirit. Let's ask ourselves some questions here. How much do I labor for the food that perishes? How much do I labor for the body that shall die? How much do I labor for a home for which I'll only own for years or even decades? How much do I labor for the food that endures for everlasting life? How much do I labor for the spirit that shall never die? How much do I labor for a home in heaven that shall last forever? Would you please think about this next question for the coming week? Just ask yourself, am I fleshly or spiritual? What kind of person am I? God the Father set His seal on Jesus Christ. The Father has not set His seal on the body or things for the body. But He approves, He put His seal upon, showing that He approves of Jesus Christ and whatever He emphasized. Let's continue, verses 28 and 29. Then they said to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. Now that sounded good to them. It sounded good to the Samaritan woman also. Did you hear the words that Lake read just a few moments ago? Jesus had told that woman back there in John 4 that He had water to give her in which she would never thirst again, and it would cause a fountain of water to spring up within her, lasting to eternal life. And her response was, man, sir, give me some of that water so I don't have to come out here to this well all the time. She did not want water anymore that was for the, you know, just for the body that would cause you to still thirst. She still wanted water for the body to which she would never thirst again. At least up to that point. And I think she probably changed later in the story. But the multitude questioning Jesus in John chapter 6 wanted to do the works of God that they would have eternal life by having food for the body. They're still thinking of the body. They missed the point. They were locked into earthly thinking. They only thought of their bodies. The world of the Spirit was as odd to them as living under the sea is to us. In answer to their question and request, Jesus gave them an answer. The work of God is to believe in Him whom God had sent. Believing in Jesus is the work of God that He wants us to do, but not that we may have food for the body. They asked the right question, but the reason that they asked was still off. They did not understand why God sent Jesus into the world. They thought it was to give them free food. But it was rather to give them something free in the Spirit for eternal life. And He gave them free food on that occasion to help them to see, look what I can do. If I can do this, there's something I can do much greater. But they weren't interested in the greater. They just wanted the lesser thing. Verses 30 through 33. Therefore, they said to Him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They wanted to believe in Jesus, but they wanted a sign that they could see, and then they said they would believe. And they even gave Him a hint as to the kind of sign that they would like to see. Jesus, our forefathers ate manna in the desert. Hinting that, if you could do the same for us, then we'll believe in you. Can you believe it? Do you remember how this started? I showed you last week. You go back to verse 2 of John 6. Why was this whole crowd following Him in the first place? John tells us. Then a great multitude followed Him because they saw His signs, which He performed on those who were diseased. And look what He just reminded them of in verse 26. Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. He did plenty of signs already, and He had already given them bread. My opinion, because I've kind of been on this end of it before, I think they were trying to manipulate Him. They were trying to manipulate Him into giving them an endless supply of free food. They quoted Him Scripture. Beware of someone who quotes you Scripture in trying to get you to do something for them. Because they may be misusing the Scripture, and they might be trying to manipulate you by implying, here's what the Scripture says, and if you do it, you're obeying God. If you don't, you're not obeying God. Jesus explained that Moses did not give them bread from heaven. Now right there, they're probably still thinking of the manna that came down from the sky. Well, first, Moses didn't do that. He was a man just as they were. He could only do what the Father allowed to be done. And second, it was the Father who gave the manna. However, Jesus spoke not of the manna back then. He's saying, Moses didn't give you the true bread you really need. Moses did not give Israel the bread of heaven. He gave them the bread of earth that they could eat for their bodies. Only the Father gives the true bread of heaven. So Jesus spoke not of the manna during the days of Moses, but of their day, that God had given to the world bread from heaven. But it was not of this world. Moses was only instrumental in giving them bread for the body, but he didn't give them the true bread for the spirit. What is the true bread of heaven? Jesus started to identify it in verse 33. As manna came down from the sky and gave life to the Israelites, so the bread of heaven is the one who came down from heaven and gave life to the world. In other words, the bread of God is not flour and water, but it is a person. But I think they missed that. Whether it was intentional or not, I don't know. Let's watch what happens next. Verses 34 to 37. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of heaven, or of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Man, they were ready. They wanted nothing more. They would do the easy work of believing, and the Lord could do what was easy for him, giving them bread. And they wanted it to be that way always. That's what they wanted from their leaders. You do the giving and we'll do the taking. And Jesus was ready to give. He affirmed that he was the bread of life. Go to him and never hunger again. And he also added the same imagery that he used with the woman of Samaria. You believe in me, and I'll give you water to where you'll never thirst again. Never hunger again, never thirst again. Are you ready for that? Do you see what you have to do? Are you ready to believe in Jesus and to do everything associated with believing in him? Yet in verse 36, Jesus repeated what he had already said, that although they had seen him, they still did not believe. So he referred to his words that he had said back in verse 26. Again, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So you've seen me, you've seen the signs, but you still don't believe. Remember what they then said to him in verses 30 and 31. What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? And here's what Moses provided for our fathers. In other words, he's already done the signs. He's already given the bread. But it's not enough. It was not enough. They wanted more. Keep it up. As long as you keep doing these things, we'll keep on believing in you. But you cut it off, and we'll cut off our belief. Amazingly, in verse 37, he was still open to them. Rather than being frustrated and discouraged into saying, "Ah, forget you people, and I'm going to go find someone else," he's still open to them. He still wants to teach them. He still wants to help them. All whom, he said, the Father gave to Jesus would come to him, and he would not cast them away. In contrast to his going to them and them casting him away. He says, "Now that won't happen if you come to me." Jesus wanted them as much as they wanted free food from him. Well, actually, I suppose he wanted them even more than they wanted free food. There's something about Jesus that his love for us is never ending. He knew that they didn't believe in him. Yet he still taught them. And later died for them. Look what he then said next in verses 38 through 40. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given to me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." Although they did not believe in him, he did not take it personally. Because he did not come down from heaven to do his own will, but the will of the Father. Therefore, Jesus could not and would not cast anyone away who came to him, whom the Father sent. This is amazing, is it not? Think of the exalted position of Jesus Christ. I mean, who is he? What did I show you in that opening chapter of John? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then down in verse 14, John said the Word became flesh. He's referring to Jesus. So how is that then? Jesus is the Word, and the Word is God. He is God the Son. He is the Son of God. Wow. In fact, there in John 1, he continued to explain that Jesus is actually the one that you're reading about in Genesis chapter 1, who did all the creating. Jesus is the Creator, and yet he said, "I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to do his will." So who am I to think I can do my will above the Father's will? Should not my life be characterized as one that, "Yes, dear God, here's what I want, but not my will be done, yours be done." The will of the Father, Jesus said, who had sent him into the world, was that of all whom he gave to Jesus, he would lose not one. Enabling him at the last day to raise that person up. In other words, go to Jesus and you won't get lost in the crowd. If he knows the number of hairs on your head, if he knows when a measly sparrow falls to the ground, if he can hear all our prayers simultaneously, then he can make sure that when you go to him, you won't get lost in the crowd. But that on the last great day, you shall be resurrected. And to make himself clear, in verse 40, he repeated what he said. God's will is that whoever sees and believes in the Son of God may have everlasting life. And Jesus shall raise that person up on the last day. But someone says, "Well, I've never seen Jesus." show me Jesus, and it shall be sufficient for me. Have you not read the Scriptures? If you have read the Scriptures, you have seen Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit used John to deliver a perfect record to us. How then can I say, show me Jesus? We have the Gospels and the Epistles. Let us hear them. So which do you want? Signs from heaven, free food, or Jesus Christ? Those who want signs from heaven can go sit in an open field or on a mountaintop and wait for the return of Jesus Christ from heaven. Man, that'll be a sign from heaven. But it'll be too late to be saved at that time. Those who want free food can go to the local welfare department and they'll be glad to give it to you, funded by your hardworking neighbors. If you want Jesus Christ, believe with all your heart that He is the Son of God and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will have the best life now, and you will have eternal life in heaven later. If you're ready for those things, come forward now as we stand and sing.